One thing I should have lit the Good News candle for was the wonderful dinner we had last night for the Stonegate Community Ministries. And a special thanks to Horace and Priscilla and Nancy and Shirley and Connie, and I'm going to leave out a whole lot of people. But they all came together and worked very hard, and they were still here when I left a little after midnight last night. So they put a lot of effort in and are changing the lives of a lot of people. It's wonderful to be part of that. Let us pray. O gracious Holy Spirit, shape and bless the humble and human words I speak, and the thoughts, feelings, and responses of those who hear, that this might be a time when we respond to your invitation and let you in. In Jesus' name, amen. You have to wonder what motivated him. Was he missing something in his life? I mean, he threw away all his dignity. Adult men didn't run in those days, and they certainly didn't climb trees. It was all to see someone that he was just curious about. Was he missing something in his life? Do you ever have that feeling that you're missing something? Perhaps it was that he heard that this man welcomed tax collectors and sinners and ate with them. Now, who does that? What kind of rabbi? It must be worth getting a look at this guy. So he climbed a tree. Now, it must have been a shock to him that he stopped underneath that tree and looked up and called him by name and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay with you today." Now that phrase, as Carrie alluded in the call to worship, "come on down," has kind of been made famous by the longest running television game show, The Price is Right. Was hosted by Bob Barker for a long time. Now it's hosted by Drew Carey, and that's the signature phrase. At the beginning of the show, contestants are gathered and it's announced their name and come on down. And you know how it unfolds. If you don't know, here's the
whole audience full of college kids out of their minds happy. George, let's make one of them extra happy by calling on down. Who we got?
You got it, Drew. How about Pramal Shah? Come on down. You're the next contestant on that Price is Right.
Come on. That was an amazing come on down. That was an amazing come on down right there.
Now, I think Zacchaeus' come on down was more amazing, but I don't think it happened like that. I got to think that, yeah, we're told that he did hurry and come down and was happy to welcome him, but I got to think there was a moment of hesitation. Maybe even resistance. When this fellow that you didn't, I mean, did he want to talk with him? He certainly didn't expect him to come to his house. For him to call up, call him by name and say, come down. Now you have to think. Zacchaeus paused for a moment and thought, what am I getting into? I mean, he was a chief tax collector. It's the only time in all Greek literature that that term chief tax collector is used. And you think he would have been a little wary of the general public, and especially of rabbis. And if he was wary, well, you know, even though he may have come down in a hurry and welcomed Jesus, the crowd did not body surf him down. To touch a tax collector was to be made unclean. And there were no high fives and cheering and embracing. What you would have heard was grumbling. This man goes to the home of a sinner. Yet Jesus said these words, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. And those words are freighted with several layers of meaning. The word hurry there is the same word that was used when the shepherds hurried to the manger. They came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. The word I must is they, the word of divine imperative, divine initiative. There is something of God's will in this must. And that word stay, well, it's the same word that John uses in chapter 15 when Jesus says, abide in me as I abide in you. This was no fly-by drop-in. We're talking about remaining, living in this place and this relationship. You think he must have hesitated for a moment before coming down. But you know, you have to love Luke and the way he pairs his stories. Immediately before this story, Luke is the only gospel with the story of Zacchaeus. But immediately before it, you have a story that appears in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and that's the healing of blind Bartimaeus, another person who is in the area of Jericho. And you got to love the contrast here. I mean, Zacchaeus was rich, Bartimaeus was poor. Zacchaeus was in a tree, Bartimaeus was in the dust alongside the road. Zacchaeus climbed just to watch. Bartimaeus couldn't see anything. But he shouted out. He wasn't going to be a spectator. And in this, on this All Saints Day, we get a glimpse, and Luke always does this beautifully. He pairs men and women, rich and poor. He always shows this is the bread of God's love and God's searching. These are the saints. Every one of us is called. High and low, rich and poor. Spectators, and those who want to get involved. God makes us all saints, not by what we do, but by this love which seeks us. The only consistent thing between these two stories is the crowd. In both of the stories, it's the crowd who wants to get in the way of these people coming to Jesus. They tell blind Bartimaeus to shut up. They stand in the way of Zacchaeus and grumble. And I wonder if these stories aren't so much about Bartimaeus and Zacchaeus as they are about us, the crowd. And what are we doing to keep people from Jesus? Or maybe, and just maybe, we all have a crowd inside us. Inside our minds, inside our hearts. The voices and the histories and the things that try and keep us, that tell us, no, there's no way he's interested in you. And so we don't let him in. You sometimes hear that voice of resistance within your own life. Of course, it gets a little more dangerous, too, because it doesn't stop in coming down from the tree. Oh, no. Jesus says, I must stay at your house today, and maybe that's the problem for many of us. We don't want it to come to our house. Now, many of you, when you meet a friend, meet them for coffee at the Starbucks or the Tim Hortons. You got too much work to do to clean up your house to have them come home. It may not be your physical house, it may be the house of your heart or your mind. You just don't want anybody coming in there. Because you know, if anybody ever saw it, they would know you're a hot mess. But Jesus, well, when you invite someone into your house, you're inviting someone to see how you live. And Jesus didn't really want to see how Zacchaeus lived. He knew how he lived. We're told at the beginning of the story, his life story in the simple sentence, he was a chief tax collector and he was rich. Jesus wanted to go to his house to change how he lived. And that's what happens when you let the love of God in. You see yourself in a different way. This is Megan Phelps Roper. You may have seen her TED Talk, probably best known for that now. At one time, she was a member of Westboro Baptist Church. Maybe you know that name. You've probably seen them. They go around campaigning. Often they'll go to the funeral of a soldier. And they'll say, you're going to hell. God hates America. Thank God for dead soldiers. They speak venom. Speak venom against homosexuals. They speak venom against Jews. They stand outside the funeral for someone who was killed in a synagogue, and that's the sign. They declare God's judgments on the United States or anyone in particular because of hurricanes and earthquakes and floods. You see, they say, this is God's judgment upon you. You bring this upon yourselves, and God hates you. And that was the message of Megan Phelps Roper. She was born into that congregation. She grew up there. She joined them on those picket lines. And she got into Twitter debates with those that she opposed. But an interesting thing happened. Some of those, I mean, she got angry and terribly violent and hateful responses on Twitter, but some of them responded in ways that asked her how she was. And they would go to the picket lines where she was holding up her signs, and they had encountered her and knew her by name from the Twitter account, by reputation. And they would find her in the picket line and call her to come down. And they would speak words of loving engagement to her. And it was when she saw them that she began to see that they were human beings. That they weren't just the enemy, but they were people who actually seemed to be concerned about her and wanted to engage with her and her opinions. She says this, "They approached me as a human being, and that was more transformative than two full decades of outrage, disdain, and violence." She let them in. And she changed. She's left Westboro Baptist Church. Her friends hate her. The people and family she grew up with reject her, but she hasn't rejected them. On the other side of the picket line, she reaches out and says, "Come on down. There's life. The story is told of a little boy who got lost in a shopping center, and the security folks found him, and big smiles, they brought him to the security office, they put him in front of the computer with a cartoon on, and they got him an ice cream cone. He was sitting there very happily watching the cartoon, licking his ice cream, when his parents burst into the room and said, "There you are!" And it was then that he burst into tears, because he didn't know until he was found that he was lost. Jesus finds us. Maybe we don't know that we're up a tree or across a great divide, providing some division between ourselves and the love of God, that personal love of God that seeks to affirm us and welcome us and embrace us. Jesus is calling you by name. I love Zacchaeus' response. He says, and he doesn't get salvation this way, this is a response to being found. He says, "Half of what I have I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I give them back four times as much." Now, the Levitical code, only if you had perpetrated a fraud on anyone and only expected that you would give them back what they were owed plus 20%. In rare occasions, you would give them back double. Four times as much is going to the extreme. But that's how much Zacchaeus was found. And Jesus says, today salvation has come to this house. It doesn't mean that his soul was saved, because there's much more going on than simply the soul. He's talking about his social reality, his place of meaning in life. He has been restored to life. For he too is a child of Abraham, and to be a child of Abraham doesn't mean that you were a Jew, although it certainly included the Jews. Remember Paul, to be a child of Abraham is to be a child of the promise of God's gracious and unconditional love, looking for us all, calling us all to come down from the tree, to come into our house, to stay. Let us pray. O gracious God, help us not to get in the way, but to give high fives and to carry people to you, for they too like we ourselves are children of Abraham. In Jesus' name.